Welcome back, everybody. Get ready for another deep dive. This time, we're taking a look at Isaiah chapters 2 and 3.
Yeah, these chapters give us quite a look at, well, two different views of Judah. You've got this hopeful future, but also their struggles in the present.
And like almost a warning, right? Like, hey, this is what could be, but look at what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
So let's start with the hopeful stuff. Isaiah really paints this, wow, incredible picture of like everyone from every nation heading to Jerusalem.
To Mount Zion, right?
Mount Zion.
Yeah.
To learn God's ways. And it's not just like a visit, you know?
No, they're searching for something deeper.
They want to know how to live, how to really live.
It's like they're driven to understand God's instructions, his Torah. Not just to know about it, but to live by it.
Yeah, you know, it really makes you think about how we view faith today. It's not just about believing. It's about like really understanding and putting it into action.
It challenges us, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It does. Okay, so we have this amazing vision. But then Isaiah kind of pulls back the curtain.
He shows us what's really going on.
Yeah, the reality of Judah. And, well, they have a lot of stuff.
Wealth, military power, idols even.
But it's like something's missing.
It's almost like all that stuff, the silver, the gold, it's a sign of a bigger problem. They're putting their trust in things that can't really save them.
Makes you think, right?
Yeah.
What are we filling our lives with today? Is it the right stuff? Or are we just, you know, always searching for more?
Good question. Are we finding true satisfaction or just ending up empty?
That's what Isaiah is warning us about, isn't he?
I think so. He's telling us not to look for security in things that won't last. Real strength, real meaning, it comes from following God's will.
So it's not like wrong to have money or success, but it's about priorities.
Exactly. It's about what you put first.
There's that line. Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in any esteem? Wow, that's pretty direct.
He's hitting a nerve, isn't he?
He is.
We humans, we tend to look for validation in all the wrong places. Achievements, outward appearances.
But Isaiah is pointing us to something much bigger.
Yeah. He's like, hey, there's a better way to find worth, real meaning.
It's almost like he knew about our world today, you know, where everything's about us, about me, and yet we're still not happy.
Right. So much focus on ourselves, but still searching.
Okay. So then Isaiah gets into this topic of leadership, and wow, he does not hold back.
He goes right for those in charge.
He says Judah's leaders, they've messed up big time because they put their faith in human power, in themselves.
And he's not just talking about kings and politicians.
Yeah, right.
He's talking about anyone in charge, even religious leaders.
Makes you think about all those scandals we see, even in like churches and stuff.
It's a wake-up call, isn't it?
It is. Like no matter how good someone seems, they're still human. So where does that leave us? Where should our trust really be?
Exactly. We got to be careful about putting anyone on a pedestal because they're going to fall. Isaiah reminds us real power, real authority comes from God.
Okay. Then there's this powerful image of the women of Zion being stripped of all their fancy things.
A bit shocking, right?
Yeah. Like a symbol of the whole nation losing everything they thought was important.
He talks about their jewelry, their perfumes, all those things that showed their status, their beauty. It's like a metaphor. They're losing everything that gave them a false sense of security.
Makes you wonder, what are we holding on to today? Those things that make us feel, I don't know, safe, important. What if we lost it all?
What would we have left? That's a tough question.
It is. It's like Isaiah's asking, what's your foundation built on? Is it something solid or something that can just crumble away?
Yeah, he's challenging us to really examine where we find our worth.
It's so different from everything we hear today, you know, like be your best self, promote yourself, get ahead.
Right. But Isaiah is saying true strength comes from a different place.
Humility.
Humility. Admitting we need help. Admitting we need God.
It's a paradox, isn't it?
It is. But maybe, just maybe, that's the key to real happiness, real peace.
You know, it makes you wonder if all this striving, this need for more, is actually taking us further from what really matters.
I think that's a question worth thinking about.
It is. It is. And it's something we're going to keep exploring as we go deeper into these chapters. It's a tough one to wrap your head around, right? Like being humble is how you become great. Kind of the opposite of what we usually hear.
Totally. It's a total flip. Like we're told to push ourselves, be the best, always aim higher. But Isaiah, he's suggesting something different.
Okay, so how do we even start to like apply this? I mean, it's so ingrained, this whole, you know, be successful, be in charge thing.
Well, remember that image with all those people going to Jerusalem to learn the Torah? I think that's a big part of it. We got to be seeking God's guidance, really digging into his word and letting it change us.
So it's not just like reading the Bible as a story, right?
Yeah, right. It's about like understanding what it means for us, for our lives today, putting it into action.
Like a guidebook almost.
Yeah. The Torah, it's often called law, but it's more like instructions, like a roadmap for living a life that honors God and leads to real joy. And that takes humility, you know, admitting we don't know it all.
There's that part where the women of Zion, they're like offering to take care of the men, saying, just let us be called by your name. Take away our shame. It's kind of desperate, isn't it?
It is. It's like they've lost everything, their possessions, their status, their sense of safety, and they're clinging to the idea that a man can give them worth.
It's sad in a way. Like even in crisis, those societal pressures are still there.
Yeah. But it also shows us that we need a deeper source of identity, you know, something that doesn't change with circumstances. And Isaiah, he's pointing to God saying that's where real worth comes from.
Okay. But then there's all this talk of judgment, right? God's not messing around, it seems.
True. But we got to remember that judgment in the Hebrew context, it's not always about punishment. You know, it's often more about like restoring order, setting things right.
Like not revenge, but more like a parent disciplining a child out of love.
That's it. And even when it seems harsh, there's this sense that God, he just wants his people to come back to him. Like, alas for the wicked, disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. It's almost said with sadness, you know?
Like a heartbroken parent.
Yeah. Even when we screw up, even when we stray, God's love is still there. He wants us back.
That's actually really comforting. Okay, so we're not supposed to, like, put leaders on a pedestal. But how do we relate to them then?
Well, we can't just ignore them, right?
Right.
We got to engage, hold them accountable, pray for them, speak out against injustice, but also be realistic.
So no pedestals, because they're going to fall.
They are. And when they do, we need to respond with compassion, not just judgment.
Because we're all human. We all make mistakes.
Exactly. We all need grace. And that brings us right back to what Isaiah is saying about humility.
Knowing our limits, our flaws. Needing something bigger than ourselves.
Needing God. It's about finding our true selves, not in the eyes of the world, but in his eyes.
That's pretty powerful. So, wow, we've really gone deep into these chapters. Isaiah's given us a lot to think about, hasn't he?
He has. This vision of a perfect future, but then, bam, the reality check of how Judah is messing up. And this whole idea of, like, pride versus humility. It's a lot.
It is. It's like kind of scary, but also, I don't know, exciting. Like, yeah. It could be amazing if we get it right.
Yeah, there's definitely hope in there. But it requires change, right? A real shift in how we see things.
So Isaiah is calling us to turn away from all that worldly stuff, the striving for success, power, all that, and instead focus on God, on following his will, which honestly sounds kind of hard. Like, how do we actually do that?
Right, it can feel abstract. But remember that image from chapter 2, all those people from all over coming to Jerusalem to learn God's ways so they can actually live them. That's the key, I think.
So it's about like actively seeking God's guidance, mm-hmm. not just, you know, hoping for the best.
Yeah, we got to be intentional, engage with his word, ask for wisdom, and then actually try to line up our lives with what he wants, not just, you know, go to church on Sunday and call it good.
And that means letting go of our own ego. Like our need to control everything, to always be right.
That's a big one. Letting go of the things we think we need, the things we think make us important.
Surrendering,
which is scary. But Isaiah's pretty clear. You know, there's a price to pay if we choose pride, if we think we can do it all ourselves. But there's also incredible freedom on the other side.
Like if we humble ourselves, if we seek God, if we try to follow his lead, then, wow, things could really change for us and for the world.
Remember that vision Isaiah gave of peace, of justice, nations living in harmony, no more war. That's the potential.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that this isn't just about, you know, feeling good ourselves. It's about making the world a better place.
Absolutely. When we're in tune with God, we become like instruments of his peace, of his love, bringing heaven here to earth. It's a big mission.
It is. So think about this. Imagine you're standing there at the foot of Mount Zion. You know, that symbol of God's presence. What would you need to leave behind to really climb that mountain? What's weighing you down, keeping you from reaching that place of true humility, that connection with God?
What idols are you clinging to? What fears are holding you back? That's a question we all got to ask ourselves. What would it look like to let go and find real freedom, real life?
That's something to really think about. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Isaiah chapters 2 and 3. We hope you've learned something, been challenged, maybe even inspired. And hey, why not go back and read those chapters again? You never know what you might discover.